Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, where information about the Akashic Records is shared, where you get to call in and give us, ask your questions, find out what's going on in your life, and find out how you can shift your life into a way of making it the way you want it. You know, so many of us have so much potential. We have so many things that we can do with our lives, and yet we continue to do the same things over and over again, expecting different results. And I got to tell you, sometimes that happens to me too, but the difference is that when I'm really down, and when I feel really bad, or when I feel really down on myself, I have the record keepers to go to and talk to and have them fill me with light and fill me with love and fill me with hope. And that's what it's all about. I'm not in Cleveland tonight. I'm in Minnesota. Now, Minneapolis, Minnesota is one of my favorite places. Even when it's cold, it's one of my favorite places. And the reason I'm here is because I did an Akashic Record Level 1 class here. So I specifically want to send a great hello to some wonderful folks out there. They're very special people. And first I'd like to say hello to Tracy. Hey, Tracy. Love you. Hey, Corinne. Hi, Corinne. Great job, both of you. Hello there. Hello there, Joe. Hello there. Hello there, Cindy. I don't know if you're listening, but I want to tell you, you guys did a great job today. Hi, Shirley. It's been wonderful working with you. And most of all, I'd like to thank and say hello to Jeanette, because it was Jeanette's prodding, and well, not really prodding, but Jeanette's wonderful organizational skills that actually made it possible for me to be here. And I want to say a hello and a great thank you to Bob, because Bob is a level 2 student of mine who lives in Minneapolis, and he knows Jeanette, and everyone saw what a great job Bob was doing, and the rest is history. So I've been coming to Minnesota since 2001, and I love it here. I've got a nice following, and I go where I'm invited, teaching people how to access their own records. So that's the story for tonight. So I want to say hello to all those wonderful folks that I shared some time with this weekend. And, you know, we had there was a question from last week. Last week, I hope you listened to the show, because that was an extremely powerful show. And this week we are going to be talking about, now, I can't find the person that somebody's emailed me a question that, but it was really personal. So I'm going to go, Bob emailed me a comment. And his comment was that, you know, we had a couple weeks ago, we were talking about economic times and how difficult they are. And what his question is, or mentioned is that, you know, I know economic times are difficult for many. I personally have experienced the greatest slowdown of work since I started my own business. And perhaps it is a time of transition for many people. I wonder if it would be a good topic to revisit to discuss the dynamics of change and transition. Well, you know, Bob, I agree with you. You know, we had the transition of a friend of mine last week, and we talked to his wife. And this week, let's talk about some of those money issues. Talk about how transition plays into money and prosperity. You know, one of the things I mentioned was that we were, at least I hope I mentioned it here, I know that I mentioned it somewhere, that there is a definite correlation between, you know, there's these predictions of the planetary challenges that are happening. And one of the things that's important to understand is that we are in control of that. And the way we're in control of that is because we're in control of it with our thoughts. Now, I'm sure that many of you understand and know that it's almost impossible to get to a good place if you've got negative thoughts. You can't get to a good place from there. It's literally impossible. So one of the things that you want to do is you want to really search out what your underlying belief systems are so that they don't plague you. And so one of the things that's important, and I just want to get back to the Mayan thing for a minute, is that when we are looking at planetary shifts, we need to understand that some of the ways those planetary shifts will come about will be our own internal shifts that we're making. So the idea here is to begin now to move into a place of loving and being and trusting. You know, we talk about trust, and we talk about light, and we talk about love, but we rarely talk about joy, or we talk about love as something outside of ourselves. And what I know to be true is that prosperity and financial abundance come from within. They come from within, and they are predicated on how you feel about you. That's what's really going on. Now, I know that we talked a little bit about this before, but I want to revisit this. And, you know, Bob, if you would like, if you're out there listening and you want to call in, that would be great. In fact, if anybody would like to call in, this week we are really taking calls, and so I'd love to talk to you and get your feedback on this or your questions around it. 877-876-5227, that's in the U.S., or the U.S. and Canada number is 888-815-9756, or if you'd like to dial direct, you can dial in 530-876-3222. So, okay, so let's just talk about the underlying beliefs of how you think you're working with positive thoughts. But if you're still focusing on what you don't have, and in focusing on what you don't have, you create a statement around what you want, you're still coming from lack. Do you get that? That's so important. So the idea here is if you're making a statement to the universe about I want, the reason you want it is because you don't have it. And so rather than saying to the universe, I want it, and in the back of your mind you know you don't have it, it's the key here is to start believing and talking and working with the idea of why do you want it? So in other words, like, how are you going to feel when you have it? And that's what's meant by imagining what it feels like to already be there. So I want you to just really look at that. Where in your life are you focusing on what you don't want and trying to get what you do want? Because that information will shift you in a way that you can actually start working with it. I mean, there was, like, you talk about the secret a lot, and people are saying, well, just feel like it's already there. If you feel like it's already there, but you're focusing on the fact that you don't have it yet, that's still coming from lack. Now, you know, the Abraham material says to go to the next best feeling. And, boy, I agree with that. The record keepers and the Abraham material are very in sync with each other. And what's interesting is that when you're working with the Akashic Records, you can actually move into feeling. You feel. You can feel what it feels like to have it, that you can start working with that feeling rather than a feeling of lack. You know, we were talking this weekend. I did a lecture here in Minnesota. And someone was talking about a friend who was would call this person only when this friend of hers wanted something. And what was happening with this gal is that she was feeling very used and abused, because every time this lady would call, after she got off the phone with her, she would feel drained. And that would be something, that's another way of actually going into lack, because you're not standing up for your own personal goals, if you will. And then, or your own personal truth, and that creates a cycle of shame and guilt and anger, etc. We can go into that in a little bit more, but we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hi, Donna. This is Bob.
Hey, Bob. We're talking about what you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, and I was listening, and I completely agree with this notion that feelings are an integral part of this creating and manifesting what it is that we would like to.
Right.
And I had my records open this weekend, and I was looking at a wonderful book. It was called The DNA of Healing, and it was written by a woman named Margaret Ruby.
Oh, Margaret Ruby. I know Margaret. I know her personally.
Yeah, and she had a wonderful quote in the book, and it was called, I'll read this to you.
Okay.
And that is that emotions are, in effect, the vibratory templates that turn our genes on or off.
Okay, so say that. Say it one more time.
Emotions are, in effect, the vibratory templates that turn our genes on or off.
That turn our genes, like our DNA?
DNA, right.
Our DNA
on or off. And so it occurs to me that she was speaking of this in the context of healing and manifesting health. And I think that the mechanisms, the universal mechanisms for manifesting health and wealth are either the same or very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But it occurs to me that when we're trying to manifest, say, for example, abundance or prosperity, that these feelings, if it's creating this template with our genes, that somehow or another, our DNA is speaking to the universe. And could you ask the record keepers about that relationship?
Sure.
How it is that our feelings, subsequently our DNA, speak to the universe?
Okay, just give me, you know how this works. I have to just, so you've just asked the question. So we want to understand the relationship between our feelings and DNA and the universe. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen who are listening, when I have the records of the program on my own personal records open now, so when someone calls in and asks a question, I'm answering the question from the Akashic Records, but I don't interpret anything. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. So the answer I'm about to give you is a records answer, a pure records answer. So the and I hope you're taking notes on this. Well, of course, you can get the archives. I know that. But this is really interesting. I'm going to say it slow. The relationship between our emotions and our DNA and the universe, as we know, that's all frequency. But what that does is it has to do with an alignment of a vibratory tone. So that when you're feeling good or love, or you have a knowing that something's happening, and when I'm saying a knowing, I'm not talking about a psychic hit. I'm talking about a feeling of confidence that is unmistakable. When that feeling comes forward, that creates a vibratory tone within your body, within your cells. And the cells then begin to vibrate at a frequency rate that actually activates, and because, you know, obviously there's DNA in the cells, so as the cells vibrate, the DNA vibrates. And that vibration of the human being expands out to their energy field. And as it expands out to their energy field, it then aligns with divine order, or the the vibration of the divine. And when that happens is when humans feel totally connected. So when someone's feeling disconnected, it's not like they're really separated from spirit or God or source. They're never separated, but what's happened is their vibration isn't a match for that frequency. And so therefore they're not receiving the appropriate information that confirms for them that they are connected. So if you were to look at it and think of it as a radio station that you dial up, that when a person feels disconnected, they're in between stations, and that's why they're getting a lot of static. Whereas if they attune and tune themselves by raising their vibration, they then get on the appropriate wavelength, if you will, that then carries them to where they need to go, or also it's almost it's carrying as well as attracting. So it's like the intertwining of the strands of the DNA. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's it feels like it's a two-way street then of communication, and I noted that you were talking about this vibration, and it's just a vibration that acts and activates the cell to vibrate at a certain level and so on, and that is what expands out through the energy field or through the matrix.
Right, but it's the feeling that creates that.
Right, and I think that in a time of lack, it's difficult to kind of hold that, to either create or hold this vibration of abundance.
It is, sure.
And so my question, I guess, to the record keepers would be, how do we humans, in a time of lack and scarcity and so on, how can we generate and kind of hold this vibration in ourselves of abundance?
Huh. It's interesting as you're saying that. It's like a very interesting picture showed up. And the picture was, it was a picture like a big hayride. like there was somebody driving this truck, and in the back of the truck was this big, like big truck. It looked like a hayride truck, but I couldn't see the hay. And so what's happening is, like, people are running alongside, knowing that they want to get up on the truck because everybody's singing happy on that truck. But they just can't seem to run fast enough or lift themselves up until someone puts a hand down to pull them up. And so the hand down to pull them up is spirit reaching out for the person who is feeling the lack, if they would just, what they're showing me is literally reach their hand up out of their body. It's like if you're sitting there and you're feeling sad, and you're feeling disconnected. It's about literally reaching your hand up and asking to be connected to the divine energy and allowing that vibration to shift. It's almost like it comes right through your hand. It's as if your hand is an antenna. Now, I find that fascinating. I've never heard that before.
Well, it's kind of fascinating because it sounds like it's more than just a metaphor. It sounds as though, energetically,
it is. That's
we should be lifting our hands up.
Yes, and so the other thing is that they're also talking about imagining or seeing if you put both hands up with your palms up and just allowing the notion of money raining down on you. And it's like it sticks on your arms and your palms, and yet it's collecting all around your feet, and it's an abundant visualization.
Yeah, and so it's opening and allowing. It's opening to spirit, and then allowing that too.
Right. What's also not there that's important for it not to be there is the how or the why it's coming to you. What normally hangs people up the most when it comes to prosperity and abundance is that we as humans want to analyze everything. And if we can't figure out where it's going to come, how it's going to get there, and how much you're going to get, then you focus on the details rather than the actual sensation or experience, if you will, of allowing it to show up any way it comes.
Yeah, that's very interesting that we kind of behave like that as humans. The other thing I think that is that either from family of origin or someplace else, we had this notion that we don't deserve. And
right.
And so if you have this notion of I don't deserve, then those questions, those scrutinizing questions of how or why, they actually get enlarged, I think.
Well, sure. And the other thing is that the idea of not deserving is in fact for the people who have chosen to have financial challenges in this lifetime, and I don't mean that people have chosen consciously, but it means that, because obviously there are some people who are really messed up and they have lots of money, and you say, well, what's wrong with that picture? Because their soul's intention was not to worry about money in this lifetime. And I know there's plenty of people out there saying, well, man, I want to change my contract, you know. But the issue is that if in fact you're having financial ups and downs and challenges, it has to do with the contract of the challenge of boundaries. And it has to do with the challenge of being willing to receive. Now, that kind of went off course of your question, your comment. So make your comment again, because I didn't feel like I answered it.
Well, I think we create a blockage in this allowing, basically, this prosperity and abundance to flow into our lives and into our beings. And I think
right.
Sometimes that's a learned response, either by virtue of family of origin or something that happened in this lifetime, or even something possibly even in another lifetime.
So, that we brought into this lifetime.
That we decided to bring into this lifetime and try
right.
to address it, that's right.
Yeah, and so the idea is and that's why we choose to be born into the gene pool that we choose to be born into. For not only for the challenges, but for the blessings as well. And so many times when we're talking about money issues, when we come in to have these challenges, we are literally shifting the vibration of that DNA gene pool out of the... It's like healing it for over the centuries. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. In fact, of course, in her book, Margaret actually kind of addresses that that things basically that we're experiencing actually are a result of this gene pool.
Uh-huh.
And there's different methods that she talks about in her book, but she says what you really need to do is basically you need to kind of clear, release that, and then kind of reprogram that.
Right. And many times you can do that with the records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was like, she has a wonderful, unique system that does that, as well as you can work with the records to reprogram it too, just by basically asking them, what do I need to do to reprogram this?
Right, I agree with that. I think that the records are, that's a wonderful way both to gain insight to that information or that past, as well as kind of the things we need to do to clear that.
Sure.
And to reprogram.
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing, too, is that there's a lot of issues around lack based on anger and rebellion. And what part of that has to do with, what I'm hearing, it's kind of a backward way of looking at something. So, for example, if a person is not abundant or prosperous at the time, they get angry and then they get rebellious. It's as if they hold on to the anger of being in lack, but it's almost like I can't even explain it. What I'm hearing is that people get into a rebellion because they don't want to, I don't know, it's a pride thing. It's like they don't want to admit that they don't know how to do something. I don't know if that makes any sense. But it's almost like they get into a rut, and rather than listening to spirit or themselves or the people, you know, they refuse to do what it takes to move themselves off of those feelings. It's like they need that feeling of victimhood to justify their excuse of why they're not doing well. And that moving off of that aspect is very scary for fear that they won't have their excuse for failure anymore. Or and that sounds harsh, but they won't have that excuse anymore. Because, and if they try and they fail, then they're going to feel worse than if they never tried. There's that notion. Do you know people like that?
Yeah, I know. I know people that their entire lives they've claimed to be a victim of circumstance or whatever, and.
Right.
Well, that's true. That's,
yeah.
It's a self-perpetuating, it's a vibration that they hold, and it's a self-perpetuating situation.
Right, because if, in fact, they were to take charge, then they would have to be responsible. And then being responsible is scary because the fear is they're not able to maintain it.
Or that they would fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of that has to do with, again, many times about how you were raised or what you heard when you were a kid or the belief systems you hold, or your, you know, other support systems. I was reading an article earlier on about Juliana Huff. Now, I don't know if you know who she is, but she is a young girl. She just barely hit 20, and she's on that Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Now, the brief story said that she was raised as a Latter-day Saint, which I think is Church of Mormon. And at 11 years old, she was sent to Europe to live with a family because her parents were getting divorced. Now, I'm not telling tales out of school here. This is an article that was published in a magazine, so
mm-hmm.
I'm just repeating the article. And then by the time she was 15, she was winning medals for dance. And her intention was that she wanted to be a country singer. And people were telling her she's crazy because she was living in England with not her family. she chose at 15, you know, to come back to the States, and back to Utah, actually, and then try to move into being a country singer. But at one of the things that fascinated me is that she realized that at 11 years old, she was on a train in London going to a dance competition, and that she was having all these wonderful adventures. Now, what kind of maturity does that take? That's a special human being, you know, to be able to really make that lemonade out of those lemons.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is such a young age. I was very impressed with, I mean, it perked my interest. I'd like to know more about her life, because it seems that she could be an amazing motivational speaker. You know?
It kind of suggests that we're a little bit more fearless when we're younger, too.
Well, that's true. Yes, definitely more fearless, you know.
I'm sure that everybody was watching the Olympics, and I remember commentary, and they were saying that these, in China, for example, and the U.S. as well, and so on, that they start these athletes training and I'm so young.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is that they're fearless at that age.
Oh, that's right.
So they're not worried about hurt. They're not worried about injury and so on. And so they can evolve to these kind of world-class positions in terms of their talents and skills.
And so there's a perfect example of feeling. See, their feelings are they're indestructible. Right?
The feelings are indestructible?
No, they're indestructible. It doesn't even occur to them that they're going to get hurt.
Yes.
And so because they're holding that vibration, you know what I mean, they're able to learn and really excel.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, that actually, I've never done it, but it, you know, that's kind of the philosophy of firewalking.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever firewalked?
No, I have watched the documentary on it, and it's the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
And for sure. And so that's kind of interesting, because they're holding that vibration as they walk across those goals.
Exactly. It's not like they're hypnotized. They've, as we said, psyched themselves up that there's nothing that can hurt them. And so
something is happening at the cellular level that's protecting them when they do that.
Right. And
that's
it's the
same vibration of the cell. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the same kind of vibration we're talking about. Those vibrations and frequencies that a human being has when they're firewalking are the same types of frequencies and vibrations that get created and transmuted and translated, if you will, to the universe when it comes to prosperity. That's why this is being brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and the other thing is that people put a great value on dollars. It's almost like they take money so seriously. I mean, it's not that you shouldn't take it seriously, but the idea is that gratitude is so much more important than money. Because if you're deep into gratitude, the money's going to show up.
Right. Maybe if one were to think of money simply as an energy system or stored energy, say, for example, units of stored energy, and all we're doing is we're just asking the universe for different quantities of this energy, this medium.
Well, that's true. And last week I was talking about actually making money your friend. Not last week, the week before that. I don't know. Did you hear that
right one? I think I was part of that one a little bit. But
Yeah,
but that's creating that vibration that you have this friendly, you have this positive relationship with money, and
right,
it's a friend to you. And
right,
so that becomes the vibration that translates to the self.
That's right.
Place to the universe, right?
There's a gal, her name is Michelle Blood, and she was in Minneapolis, I think, a couple of years ago. And she has this CD And on the CD, it's, she's got this little cute song that says, you know, I love money and money loves me. Money is my friend, you know. And I think it's a great CD. And it's very interesting vibration. Very interesting vibration. You know, there's something to be said about holding those kinds of affirmations if you believe they're true. So, for example, if you don't think money is your friend and you feel like it's betrayed you, then you got to have a talk with money and ask him, what am I, you know, what do you need from me so you won't betray me? Kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have your records open now, Bob?
No, I did earlier this evening. I was going through a couple of things, but actually the record keepers, I'll tell you a funny story. They
okay.
suggested that I open, I was asking a couple of questions. They suggested I open this book called The DNA of Healing by Margaret. And so I happen to have two copies. Here's how we don't really complete things as humans. I actually had a copy on my bookshelf because I was in the bookstore. I saw it and I said, boy, this looks really interesting. I think this is material that I should look at. Put it on the bookshelf, and about 3 or 4 weeks later, I was back in the bookstore again, and I saw this book, The DNA of Healing. I said, boy, that looks really interesting. Maybe I should pick it up. So I bought it again. And then I got home, and I put it on the bookshelf, and I immediately saw that I already had a copy of it. So then I said, well, okay, I guess I put it. And then the thing is that I still didn't read it, and then I was in my records tonight, and they said, you know, you really need to open that book up.
That's great. That's great. Just for those folks who are listening, this wonderful conversation I'm having with Bob, what's interesting here is Bob has taken Level 1 and Level 2 Akashic Records workshop with me. And so that's why I talked to him about his records being open. And you actually do consultations for folks like I do, don't you?
Sure.
That's right. That's right. And you're in Minneapolis.
Actually, I'm in Woodbury, which is kind of on the far east side of St. Paul.
Oh, is that right? I'm sorry. Okay.
Closer to the river, as we say.
Say again?
Closer to the river, as we say.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's two rivers. One is the Mississippi, of course, and the other is the St. Croix. And I'm closer to the St. Croix. So.
Ah, okay. Well, I think that you should tell people how to get a hold of you if they want to do a consultation with you. You know, you do good work there, and you should let people know how to get a hold of you.
Sure.
You can give you an email address or a phone, whatever you want to do, or both.
Sure. I will give you a phone number that I can be contacted at. It is 612-816-7557.
Great. That's good. Is that a cell phone or?
Pardon me?
Is that your cell phone?
It is my cell phone, and it's probably one of the best ways of getting a hold of me.
Sure. Okay. Do you want them to email you?
Sure. They can do that, too. That would be just fine. And my email is rbrunges@hotmail.com.
You may want to spell that.
It's R, B-R. UNJES as in Sam.
Okay.
At hotmail.com.
Great. And if folks, you know, if for some reason you didn't get that, you can always, you know, call me or email me. And, you know, I might as well give my information too. From a private point of view, for a private consultation, you're welcome to give me a call at 216-691-1233. Or you can email me. In fact, if you want to email questions for the show, you can certainly do that. Just like Bob did, at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's akashicwisdom. There you go. So what else do you want to talk about, Bob?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for coming to Minnesota. It was a real pleasure to see you again. And it was a great time that we had last night. I enjoyed dinner.
Yeah, that was great dinner.
And I hope that you're going to be coming back up soon again.
Yeah, so it sounds like the level one folks want a level two, so I'll be back to that. And there's some other people who weren't able to make this level one that want me to come back. And you know, like you know, as you know, I go where I'm invited. So all they have to do is call, and I'll show up. Just got to My weekends right now are totally booked until November. And so we'll probably be doing something either in November or then we'd have to wait until spring. So that's what we're going to try and do here. So we're going to try and do it in November. But I'm doing it just for you. If you know anybody who's looking, I'm doing a level two in Cleveland.
Okay.
So I'm going to be putting up my schedule. Part of my schedule is already up on the BBS website. So. But,
okay. Well, I looked into some of the details related to the convention that will be in Chicago. So.
Yes. Oh, did you go up online?
Pardon me?
You went up online. Did you go up online and look at it?
I did. I went on the Akashic Record International website. And,
great.
It's all very explicit and very well detailed and really well organized. So
right.
It looks like it's going to be a great convention in October.
Yeah, it is. And so what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is Akashic Record Consultants International, of which I'm a founding member and a member of the board. We are offering a conference in Chicago, Illinois, October 23rd and 24th. And so for those people who are interested in the Akashic Records and have already taken a level one in Akashic Records workshop, you can attend this conference. It's going to be fabulous. We have some wonderful presenters that are going to be presenting very interesting stuff. But if, in fact, you have never taken anything on the Akashic Records and would like to, and you're either in the Chicago area or you're willing to come in a couple of days early, we're actually going to be doing a level one Akashic Records workshop there at the conference 2 days before the conference, like on that Thursday and Friday before the Saturday and Sunday. And then for those people who are listening who already have a level two under their belt, we're going to be Elena Lieberman, who is my teacher, and where it really started all in Chicago when Mary Parker, and assigned or through the record keepers asked Elena to be a teacher years and years ago. And if you're curious about what I'm talking about, go to the website and you can get this information. And I'll give you that website in a minute. But anyway, Elena is going to be teaching an advanced level two. So that should be absolutely fascinating and extremely valuable if you want to do Akashic Record consultations as your business. That would be great. So the website I'm talking about is the three W's, www., akashicrecordconsultantsinternational.org, and it's all spelled out. So that's where to go if you have any trouble finding it. Also, email me, and I can give you the link. So that's that. So, well, Bob, I think I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you, Donna, and I know that you've only got a little bit of time left, so I will close so that other people that would want to chat with you can.
Okay.
And, I'm sure that we'll be talking soon. So.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, and keep listening and keep calling. I love talking to you.
I will do that.
Okay, hon. All right, take
bye
care. Bye-bye. Bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bob Brunges, and again, he is in the Minneapolis area, Woodbury, as he said, and this information that the Akashic Records brings forward is so profound that it can literally shift a lot of lives. And we didn't necessarily get into how it's changed his life, but I know that it has because we've discussed it. And so he's been working in this for a while. But now the lines are open. So if you would like to call in, and we have a few more minutes to chat. We have about 10 more minutes to chat. So the telephone number here to call is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Those are both 800 numbers in the U.S., and the 888 number can be used by Canadians. And if you'd like to dial direct, it's 530-876-3222. So here's what I would like to propose to you folks. This week, it would be important for, in fact, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh next week, so anybody who's in Pittsburgh who'd like to talk to me, give me a call. Going to do a level one in Pittsburgh, possibly a level two. But anyway, what I want to say to you is this week your assignment, should you choose to accept it, I feel like Mission Impossible here, is to begin to really look at what you tell yourself about money, about being wealthy, about being rich, about what you think about rich people, about what you think about the prospects or the truth of you ever being wealthy or rich. Begin to notice how you talk to yourself about this. Begin to notice what is, or what the underlying belief systems are. Because until you identify the underlying belief systems, it's impossible to neutralize them. And you're going to want to neutralize them so you can move forward and you can have a better command of your emotions and feelings. And that's very important. The other assignment is to become very clear about how you feel about certain things or anything. It's about identifying the feelings of happiness, sadness, anger, frustration. The reason why that's important is there's so many folks out there that had to push their feelings down when they were kids that they don't know what feelings are. So consequently, what they either are angry or not angry. There's no in between. So it would be so important for you to really begin to discern, and that's an important word, discernment, for you to discern what your feelings are, what creates those feelings, and then once you observe it, then we can talk about how to neutralize it or how to heal them or how to eliminate the negatives. But first, you have to identify them. So the other piece is those belief systems that Rob and I were talking about are really established when you're very young. You know, you want to think about how did your parents spend money? What did your parents say about money? You know, I know someone who would not think anything of spending $200 for dinner. That's just kind of, they'd go out and they, not that they go do it all the time, but they think nothing of spending $200 for dinner, but yet spending $50 for a kid's pair of shoes, which again is expensive for $50 for a pair of shoes for a kid, but $50 for a pair of shoes is too much money. So where are your values? How is it okay to spend $200 for dinner that when it's done, it's gone? But it's not, you feel that it's not okay to spend $50 for a pair of school shoes for a child. I mean, if you're in that affluent or that upper middle class price range anyway. So how do you spend your money? Where do you spend your money? And that's another interesting assignment. Start writing down everything you spend and see where the money goes. You would be amazed at the stuff that you buy that you don't need. At least I was and am constantly. So those are some ideas that you may want to look at. You know, these are times when we have to become very creative about how we work with ourselves and how we work with others and how we work with the energies around us that serve us and the ones that don't, that no longer serve us. And so it's really going to be important for you to take a look at that and then do some journaling about it. But you'd be surprised what kind of choices you can make when you gather the kind of information we've just been talking about. Not to mention there are many, many books written on prosperity and wealth and how to maintain it out there so that you can begin to look and do your homework about what resonates with you. Yeah. You know, the other thing is that when we're talking about self-esteem, many times people want to pray for more money and are afraid to pray for more money for fear that God won't give it to them. or for fear that that's a greedy thing to pray for. And so my suggestion is, if in fact you can feel good and it makes you feel good to pray about money, you should do it. It's not being greedy. There is so much abundance that whatever you pray for, believe me, you're not taking out of somebody else's pocket. You're not taking out of somebody else's pocket if you receive it. That's the other thing we really need to know, that we live in a prosperous, abundant universe. In an unlimitedly prosperous and abundant universe. The fact that we haven't tapped in to that prosperity does not mean it's not there. So this planet is such a wonderful planet of learning and experience. That we can go from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low for whatever experience we want, to experience the contrast of one another, to experience the contrast of one another, to experience the contrast of having and not having. I think Earth is pretty great. And I'm happy to be here. In fact, I don't want to leave. Not that I'm going anywhere. But I know a lot of people that sometimes feel that they just don't like it here on planet Earth. And I've got to tell you, I think it's great. I don't have to like everything 100% of the time. But I love all the different things that planet Earth has to offer, including the challenges. Including the hills and the valleys. And that's what we want to remember. That we're here by choice. We made a choice to come here. To experience all the different contrasts. And as we hear, and as we're here interested and knowing and experimenting and documenting in our DNA what works and what doesn't work, we are not just doing it for ourselves. But we are doing it for the masses of humanity and people that are on this planet. And we're doing it for the billions of guides and angels that are observing us in figuring it out. So as much as we would like to know more about the other side, there's a good part of those wonderful beings of light that are observing us at all times. And are ready to give us whatever it is we want. All we have to do is shift our vibration and align with that with what we love the most. Or just love itself. And if that sounds hard, then you need to look at why does it feel hard? Why is it so hard to love myself? Why is it so hard to feel trust in self? That's a whole other program. And we are almost done for the night. We are done for the night. I'm in Minneapolis, so it's 10:54. It's time for us to say goodnight. It's time for us to tell you that you are the most magnificent beings of light. You are the ones that you've been waiting for. And so tonight we want to close the program. We want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that everyone listening, both live and in archive, as we close this program, may their hearts be open. Their burdens be lifted, and may they truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records and say, amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Good night, everybody. Love you so. This is Donna Fox. Good night.